I'm Karen Norton.
And I'm Don Norton.
And I have loved KMUW for years.
I've been an avid listener for years. And when I retired from professional engineering consultants and had more time to listen to the radio, it's my go-to station.
KMUW brings a personal perspective to the local news. I find that there are more interviews of the ordinary people in Wichita who may have a perspective that we don't expect, that may bring a story to light that we just did not realize was out there. There's so much that KMUW does that can't be done other places, and that's what I want to support.
Good morning. It's Thursday, September 25th. I'm Beth Golay, and this is Wichita's Early Edition from KMUW News. The average American eats more than 40 quarts of popcorn a year. But popcorn is not grown on that many farms these days.
There's a lot of people when they go to the movie theater, right, that I think they just don't understand the magnitude of where popcorn is grown.
The evolution of the popcorn business after the news. Wichita police and housing officials pushed back against a call by some city council members for stricter enforcement of a ban aimed at reducing homeless encampments. KMUW's Meg Britton Mellish has more.
A request by Mayor Lily Wu for a status report on enforcement of the city's camping ban came with a clear message from Wichita Police Chief Joe Sullivan.
Enforcement is not the answer to this problem. And we've seen around this country, time and time again, too often tragedies that have occurred because of confrontations between police and unhoused citizens.
Earlier this year, the council updated Wichita's camping ordinance to allow citations for camping in certain areas. The ordinance doesn't allow citations for homeless people who are camping when no shelter beds are available. Since April, the department has not issued any citations in the 184 encampment cases it's handled. For KMUW News, I'm Meg Britton Mellish.
The federal government is weighing in on a legal battle in Leavenworth over an immigration detention center. A state court has temporarily blocked private prison company CoreCivic from housing 1,000 federal immigration detainees there. The city of Leavenworth says CoreCivic needs a special permit. But in a court statement, a U.S. Assistant Attorney General says federal priorities trump local rules. CoreCivic attorney Taylor Concannon-Houseman has made the same argument in court.
The Constitution prohibits states from interfering with or controlling the operations of the federal government.
The city has argued that it is not discriminating against the federal government by requiring a permit. Because the facility in Leavenworth hasn't opened, people who are detained are being held at the Chase County Detention Center in eastern Kansas. People held there have complained about overcrowding and a lack of medical care. The board that oversees Kansas universities is studying whether to allow reduced credit degrees that students could finish in 3 years. KMUW's Suzanne Perez reports.
The Kansas Board of Regents is convening a task force to study the pros and cons of reduced credit bachelor's degrees. Kansas State University is proposing a 90-hour degree in uncrewed aircraft systems, or drones. That would require waiving a Regents policy that mandates 120 credit hours for an undergraduate degree. K-State Provost Jesse Perez-Mendez says the goal is not to scale back existing bachelor's degrees.
Our focus is to give the Board of Regents a couple of different looks at what this may look like overall, and it's with degrees that we don't have on the books right now.
Opponents say reduced credit degrees could erode the value of a traditional bachelor's degree. For KMUW News, I'm Suzanne Perez.
The family of a 50-year-old man who was killed in the Wyandotte County Jail called for the public release of the body cam footage of his death.
Let's be fair for Charles Adair.
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 National civil rights attorney Ben Crump led the cries at a news conference at a local church. Crump says body cam video shows Sheriff's Deputy Richard Fatherly kneeling on Adair's back for a minute and a half. Local activist Nikki Richardson says the family also wants an independent judge to hear the case.
We need an outside judge. The problem is in the house. So we need someone from outside of the county.
Father Lee has been charged with second-degree murder in Adair's death. The McAfee Pool is officially part of the National Register of Historic Places 2 years after Wichita received a grant to preserve it. The pool was built in 1969 and designed by Wichita architect Charles McAfee. It was built for African-American children in the neighborhood to practice swimming. The city received a grant in 2023 to make improvements to the pool complex and develop a plan for its long-term preservation. The pool was nominated for the registry because of its significance within Wichita's African-American community and its modern design. The ACLU of Kansas will hold an event in Wichita next week to discuss what it sees as an unfair bail system. The Justice Summit will be held Tuesday at the Wichita Marriott. People who attend must register in advance. The ACLU maintains that many people who are arrested can't afford to pay bail. As a result, they remain in jail even though they have not been convicted of a crime. National ACLU Deputy Legal Director Yasmin Cater will be the featured speaker at Tuesday's summit. Contact the ACLU of Kansas for more information. A community baby shower and resource fair will be hosted by the Sedgwick County Health Department on October 11th. The event is in partnership with the Kansas Infant Deaths and SIDS Network. One of its goals is to help educate the community on safe infant sleeping. The resource fair will give away portable cribs to people who attend its safe sleeping demonstration. The baby shower is from 10 to 2 at the County Health Department location near 9th and Minnesota. More information is at sedgwickcounty.org. We'll be back after this.
Tomorrow on the Range, a new high school sport that's not just a passing fancy. Plus, we visit a trail that's a nature lover's dream. So join us on the Range, where we share stories about where we live and the people who live here.
This is Wichita's Early Edition. I'm Beth Golay. The popcorn harvest will start soon across the Midwest. Lots of towns hold popcorn festivals this time of year, or even claim to be the popcorn capitals of the world. But the U.S. Department of Agriculture data shows fewer than 1,000 popcorn farms exist today. Harvest Public Media's Sheila Brummer introduces us to a few people and places where popcorn is more than a treat. It's a living.
During a vacation to Mount Rushmore, David McAvoy from Tennessee stops by a tourist attraction off the beaten path in Sac City, Iowa.
Pretty awesome. I mean, when you think about 9,000 pounds of popcorn, that's pretty cool.
It's the world's largest popcorn ball, encased behind glass and more than 8 feet tall. A monument to a rural way of life.
All you see when you're driving is corn everywhere, so you can make all kinds of popcorn.
Actually, McAvoy likely didn't see popcorn. Most farmers raise field corn. Even in nearby Shaler, called the popcorn capital of the world, very few growers remain. However, they still celebrate with an annual popcorn festival, including a parade, rides, and plenty of free popcorn.
Pouring the oil in right now. And then here goes the popcorn.
Volunteers like Jared Curry and his wife and two daughters hand out hundreds of bags full.
I did a little math, too, and I figured out we'll probably go through about 400 pounds over the weekend.
Even though Iowa shows pride in popcorn, the state no longer leads the country.
There's been cases where they flip back and forth, but Indiana and Nebraska are the top two popcorn-producing states.
That's corn expert Dan Quinn with Purdue University in West Lafayette, Indiana. The USDA reports that Indiana currently grows and produces the most popcorn. And Quinn says a majority of people don't give the crop much thought.
You know, there's a lot of people that go to the movie theater, right, that I think they just don't understand the magnitude of where popcorn is grown, the importance of it to a lot of farmers, and also the amount of research and work that goes into it.
Quinn says since popcorn is non-GMO or not genetically modified, it's more susceptible to bugs, weeds, and weather. These challenges mean farmers aren't always eager to grow the whole grain. In fact, the Census of Agriculture shows out of almost 2 million farms in the United States, only 860 raise popcorn. Jack Hogue knows popcorn. He's been in the business on his Northwest Iowa farm for more than 50 years, like his father before him. He checks his field, a sea of green waving leaves, and says things are looking good.
We're really fortunate this year. Corn here is about 7 to 7.5 feet tall. We've just had so much rain this spring. We've been so blessed to have rain.
Hogue contracts his harvest to the American Popcorn Company, the makers of Jolly Time, one of the country's most recognized brands. President Steve Huizenga gives a tour of the operation in Sioux City, Iowa.
You'll see two shots of corn, two shots of oil. They're basically running.
They sell between 50 and 60 million pounds a year, or as Huizenga counts, 90 billion kernels.
Popcorn is still kind of that snack that brings people together, right? And it's about happy memories and about doing things with family and friends and even me time. You know, sometimes it's just nice to sit and have popcorn by yourself. That hasn't changed.
It's the love of popcorn and nostalgia that keeps North Loop in central Nebraska on the map.
We're a town of 280 people. That's how big we are. And we put on quite a celebration.
Larry White helps organize the community's annual popcorn days, turning 125 years old next summer.
We had a good one this year. It was hotter in blazes. We had a very good turnout. We seem like we're adding something new every year.
It's the longest running event of its kind in the state and possibly the country, featuring everything from rodeo events, entertainment, to wiener dog races. And of course, the main attraction, popcorn.
I've had more people say, it's free. You know, it's kind of like, yes, it's free popcorn.
But even if it doesn't cost any green in a small town in the Cornhusker state, the U.S. popcorn industry as a whole is worth about $3 billion. For Harvest Public Media, I'm Sheila Brummer.
Thanks for joining us for Wichita's Early Edition. We'll be back again tomorrow. For KMUW News, I'm Beth Golay.
Wichita's Early Edition is part of the NPR Podcast Network.
It's rare to find a podcast that can actually change your life. But when the show's called Life Kit, that's kind of the whole point. I'm Mariel Segarra. 3 times a week on the Life Kit podcast, we guide you through a topic we could all use help with, from personal development to healthy living to managing your dinero, with takeaways so you can start living what you learn right away. Escucha el Life Kit podcast from NPR.